It's dawn in Antwerp, 1914. The air smells of smoke and fear. Horses bolt through cobbled streets slick with rain and ash. Bells toll in the distance, not for worship this time, but as a warning. And through that chaos walks a small woman in a Red Cross uniform. Her skirt drags through the mud, and her arms are cradling a bucket of steaming soup. Her name is Sarah Broom McNaughton, and she's about to give the rest of her life to the war. I'm Loralee Siemens, and this is the Church History Podcast with our series, The Church at War. Welcome back to the Church History Podcast. I'm your host, Loralee Siemens. Now, I do have some exciting news to share. I have a new book that's in its final stages and should be ready to purchase in the near future. The book is called The Church Sings, and it's the story of the church told through the songs that we sing. Now, this book's a little different from the last two that I wrote. Each chapter tells the story of a hymn, and it's followed by discussion questions, and it concludes with the hymn printed so you can sing along. I wrote this in a way it could be used as either a devotional or as a group study, and I want it to be ready to purchase soon so you can give it as a Christmas gift. And speaking of Christmas, it's the month of December, and I'm going to be playing some of the most popular Christmas episodes we've played through the last 5 years. If you have a favorite Christmas carol or a story that we've told, email me or message me online and let me know what episodes you want to hear. Okay. Let's get to today's story. Before the war, Sarah McNaughton lived a very different life. She was born in Scotland in 1864, and she was one of six children, and she lived in a large, spirited family. Her father, Peter McNaughton, educated her at home. This was a decision that would shape her curiosity and her independence. She once wrote, "I was not made to be idle," and she wasn't. After her parents died, she moved to Kent, and then to London, and that is where she began to write. By her mid-30s, Sarah had become a well-known novelist. Her books were filled with wit, moral questions, and strong women who fought for purpose in a complicated world. But writing wasn't enough. Sarah had an adventurous spirit, one that couldn't stay confined to drawing rooms and literary circles. She traveled the world. She visited Canada, South America, India, and South Africa. She joined the suffragettes, campaigned for people with low income in London's East End, and volunteered during the Balkan Wars. Her faith wasn't loud or showy, but it was steady. And it was a faith that called her to act, not just believe. When war broke out in August 1914, Sarah was almost 50 years old. She could have stayed home, been respectable, safe, and comfortable. Instead, at the age of 50, she packed her bags and joined the British Red Cross and began volunteering to go to the front lines in Belgium. On September 22nd, she arrived in Antwerp with Mabel St. Clair Stobert's ambulance unit. The city was already under threat. The sky glowed red with artillery fire at night. Sarah later wrote in her diary, "It's one thing to read about war in newspapers. It's another to hear the guns and to feel the earth tremble beneath them." She watched as wounded soldiers poured into makeshift hospitals. She helped carry stretchers, wash wounds, and pray with men who would not live to see another sunrise. And somehow, amid all of the destruction, she saw beauty. She saw beauty in courage, in kindness, and in the faith of those who refused to give up hope. When the fall of Antwerp forced many volunteers to evacuate, Sarah refused to leave. she joined Dr. Hector Miro's Flying Ambulance Unit, one of the most daring medical teams on the front. She worked within 100 yards of the trenches. She rescued the wounded under fire. Remember, Sarah wasn't a nurse, and yet she'd become indispensable to the doctor. One fellow nurse later remembered her this way. She was a small, delicate woman, highly strung and nervous. Yet she moved with quiet purpose. She asked for nothing. She complained for nothing. She just worked. Sarah soon organized a soup kitchen near the front lines and served soldiers and refugees. She wrote, "I cannot bear to sit idle while others are cold and hungry. This little pot of soup is my sermon." That line always gets me, because sometimes faith isn't preached from a pulpit. Sometimes it's ladled out, streaming and humble, in a battered pot beside the battlefield. By 1915, Sarah's body began to fail her. Years of exhaustion, manipulation, and the cold Belgian winters had taken their toll. But instead of resting, she decided to go further. She went to Russia and then Armenia, where the humanitarian crisis was unfolding in the shadow of a genocide. We covered the story of Armenia in 3 episodes, and I'll put links to those in the show notes. Eventually, Sarah arrived in a city overwhelmed, 30,000 residents, and nearly 17,000 refugees from the Armenian genocide were there. In her diary, she wrote, "Massacres have nearly exterminated these unfortunate people. It's been officially stated that 75% of their race has been put to the sword." She worked tirelessly among them. She distributed food, she wrote letters, and she comforted the dying. And she prayed, but she didn't pray for her to escape. She prayed for endurance. She prayed for compassion that would outlast her lifetime. In 1916, while traveling through Persia, Sarah fell seriously ill. Historians debate what Sarah actually fell ill with. Some say she had typhus. Whatever it was, she was too weak to continue. So she returned to England, to a little village in Kent. And there, surrounded by her friends, she died July 24th, 1916, at the age of 51. She was buried in her family plot, and her diary was published by her niece, Betty Solomon. It was titled, "A Woman's Diary of the War." Her final dedication reads, "To those who fought and those who served, and to those who loved them." When I read Sarah's words, I'm struck by how much she never lost the sight of hope, even when she was surrounded by ruin. Her diaries aren't just war reports. Her diaries are testaments of faith, quiet, steady faith that lives not in grandeur, but in grace. She wrote, "We cannot choose our battlefield, but we can choose how we stand upon it." And that's the lesson she leaves us. Each of us face battle. Not all will face battles of bombs or bayonets, but we do face battles of fear, grief, and despair. We may not be called to a battlefield in Belgium, but we are called to serve, to love, and to endure. Sarah's faith led her not to comfort, but to compassion. And in a world at war, that was the greatest act of courage of all. As I close the story of Sarah Broom McNaughton, I can't help but think about what drove her. That quiet, unwavering conviction that faith must do something. Now, she didn't shout her beliefs from a platform. She lived them in the cold mud of Belgium, in the hunger of Armenia, and in the pages of her worn-out diary. Her strength wasn't in grand speeches or in titles. Her strength was found in compassion, and it was poured out like the soup she ladled for strangers, one trembling hand at a time. And maybe that's the call for us today, to let our faith move beyond words, to love in ways that costs us something, to serve where the world is bleeding. Because faith, real faith, always leaves the comfort of home and steps towards the suffering. Next time, meet another life shaped by that same truth, but lived in a very different battlefield. A doctor who left behind a brilliant medical career to heal the souls of a wounded generation. A man whose preaching would ignite revival in a weary world. Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones. Join me as we continue the Church at War and discover how one man's uncompromising belief in the power of Scripture changed the course of the 20th century Christianity. I'm Laura Lee Siemens, and today I leave you with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app so you don't miss an episode. We release new content every Monday. And don't forget to check out our website at lauraleesiemens.com for more information and additional resources. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week as we continue our journey through the incredible history of the Church.